This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rahmatillil alameen. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Allah to send His peace and blessings upon the final prophet, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those who follow his way with righteousness until the last day. So before I get into today's topic, which is about the importance of having habits of good deeds, I just want to give a brief reminder about the last few nights of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is almost over. We have less than a week. If Allah wills, this may be the last Jummah of Ramadan. We don't know until Thursday night when we search for the moon. But inshallah, you know, these last few nights is the time when we should be searching for Laylatul Qadr. And one of the mistakes that many of us make is after the 27th night, you know, for the 28th and 29th night, we don't take it too seriously. You know, the number of people coming to the masjid decreases, the amount of people doing ibadah decreases. Remember that the 29th night especially also has a high chance of being Laylatul Qadr. So just as we push ourselves to do more ibadah on the 27th night and the 25th night, do the same on the 29th night as well. Right? Don't allow yourself to get lazy. Force yourself to be someone who is doing ibadah until the end. Why? Because this is the month when sins are forgiven. This is the month where Allah has put so many systems in place for the forgiveness of sins. And I want us all to think about this. Which of us here can say, I don't need my sins to be forgiven, or I don't have any sins that need forgiving? Which human being can say that? Nobody. So Allah has given us Ramadan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about Ramadan, that man soma Ramadana imana wa ihtisaba ghufir lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi. Man qama laylatul Ramadan imana wa ihtisaba ghufir lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi. Man qama laylatul qadr imana wa ihtisaba ghufir lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi. O kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, Allah, out of iman and hoping for reward, Allah forgives their sins. Whoever prays the nights of Ramadan out of iman and hoping for reward, Allah forgives their past sins. Whoever prays the night of Laylatul Qadr out of iman and hoping for reward, Allah forgives their past sins. So what excuse would any of us have to leave Ramadan with sin still in our account? May Allah make us from those who are forgiven in this month. And remember the special dua to earn that forgiveness that we can make in these last few nights. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'fu anni. O Allah, you are most forgiving, most pardoning. You love to pardon, you love to forgive. So forgive me, pardon me. And so this is a very powerful dua where we are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for forgiving. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He wanted, He could have made us perfect. He could have made us angels. He could have made us such beings that never commit a sin. But Allah loves to forgive. And if there's nobody doing sin and then making istighfar, who is there for Allah to forgive? So Allah has purposely created us as flawed beings. And it is out of His mercy that He has given us Ramadan. And He has given us Laylatul Qadr. And He has given us Taraweeh. And He has given us fasting. And He has given us charity. And all of these are means through which our sins can be forgiven. So today, inshallah, I want to talk about a very important hadith, and this continues the series of Jummah lectures we've been giving on hadiths. Last time I was here, we spoke about the hadith not to cause harm to yourself or anybody else, la darar wa la dirar. The time before that, we spoke about the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave advice to his cousin Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu about the qadr, about destiny, and trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we're going to talk about the hadith and these different narrations of this hadith. We go with the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised all of us to do as much good deeds as possible. And then he said, nobody is going to enter Jannah because of their deeds. Nobody is going to enter Jannah because of their deeds. Why? Because none of us are perfect. None of us are worthy of Jannah. Think about it. Which of us can say, I deserve eternal happiness? Which man can say, I deserve Hurul Ain? Which person can say, I deserve rivers of wine? None of us. We all are sinners. We all have our faults. So, which of us can say we deserve Jannah? None of us. Another hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ commenting on this hadith, he said that you will only enter Jannah because of Allah's mercy. Again, it comes back to Allah's forgiveness. That's the way to Jannah. Allah's mercy and forgiveness. But then Rasulullah ﷺ, he told Aisha radiallahu anha something that she can do, something that all of us can do, that can help us to earn Allah's mercy. And he said, "Anna أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومه ولو قل." That the most beloved actions to Allah are those that are done regularly, those that are done every single day, even if they are very small actions. And this is the topic I want to speak about today. The importance of each and every one of us developing good deed habits. Habits of good deeds. Good deeds that we do on a daily and consistent basis. Because these are the deeds that are most beloved to Allah after the wajibat, after the compulsory actions. So before I go into those type of good deeds, a reminder. This does not mean that you must only do some small deeds and you can avoid what is compulsory. Rather, it's talking about what is extra. You still have to do what's compulsory. In a hadith Qudsi, it is stated that the thing that brings us closest to Allah are what? What is the actions that bring us closest to Allah? The compulsory actions. The wajibat. What are the compulsory actions? The five pillars of Islam. The shahada. Praying five times a day. Fasting the month of Ramadan. Discharging our zakah once a year. Going for Hajj once in a lifetime. Those five are a must. Remember, these five things are a must. These five things are the pillars of Islam. You let go of a pillar of Islam, your iman begins to crumble. So, before we discuss what's extra, let us make sure that we have what's minimum in place. If any of us are not in the habit of praying five times a day, let us rectify that this Ramadan and let us make it a habit to pray five times a day. Because this is the one thing, the one action that can truly save you on the Day of Judgment. Because the first thing that Allah will ask you about on the Day of Judgment is your Salah. The first thing that Allah will ask you about on the Day of Judgment is your Salah. Unfortunately for many of us, we have again ritualized the Salah and we've come up with our own version of Islam where we think we only have to pray on Jummah. This does not exist in any version of Islam. Five times a day is minimum. And when you say five times a day is minimum, two fard for Fajr, four for Zuhr, four for Asr, three for Maghrib, four for Isha. That is minimum. If you are not in the habit of praying five times a day, start with that. Once you finish, build that into a habit, then you add in the witr, then you add in the sunnahs. But start with that, start with what's minimum. Because this is, you know, the main action we're going to be asked about on the Day of Judgment. Did we pray five times a day or not? Allah created us to worship Him. And this is the main way of worshipping Him that He has prescribed upon us. Praying five times a day. So do not take it lightly. It is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about it, "Man tarakahu faqad kafara." Whoever abandons praying five times a day has disbelieved. And the ulama have different interpretations of this hadith. Nonetheless, the wording is so strong. It should make any of us, all of us fear, you know, this avoiding this bad habit of missing salah. It's something that the Prophet ﷺ associated with kufr. He said, kafara. You know, it's a means of leaving the religion when you stop praying five times a day. So if you are not in the habit of praying five times a day, start today. Make this a habit. Right? And the other pillars of Islam are just as important. The zakah, the fasting, the hajj. Make sure that all of this is in order. And this is the minimum that is needed to get into Jannah. And we know this through another hadith where one of the Bedouins, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is Islam? What does he need to do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only told him three things. Believe that there is no God except Allah and that Muhammad is His messenger. Pray five times a day and fast the month of Ramadan. Now the scholars say, why didn't he mention zakah or hajj? Because this individual could not afford zakah or hajj. And we know zakah and hajj are only obligatory upon the person who can afford it. So this man, he asked the Prophet, "Oh Rasulullah, if I only do these things, I pray my salah. I believe in Allah and His Messenger. I fast in Ramadan. Will I enter Jannah? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? He said, yes. Yes, you will enter Jannah. That is the minimum requirement. Praying 5 times a day, fasting the month of Ramadan, and if you have wealth, zakah and hajj as well. These are the minimum requirements for entering into Jannah. So let's get that in order first. Now once you have that in order, going back to the hadith that we mentioned at the beginning, the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned that the thing that brings us closest to Allah are the wajibat, and then the optional acts of worship. Now many of us think that when we start practicing Islam, we have to go all in. You know, we have to, you know, go big or go home. We think we have to be this super pious guy who does good deeds all day long, and it must be massive good deeds. So some people, when they first get into the practice of Islam, they think that they need to pray Qiyamul Layl all night, or they need to fast every day, you know, or they need to recite the entire Quran once a week. They feel like they have to do these things, otherwise I'm not a good Muslim. You know? And what happens when you set such goals like that? What happens? You can't sustain it. And you end up losing hope in yourself. You end up thinking that I'm not good enough. You know, I'm not good enough to be a Muslim. And you end up thinking this is too hard. Remember something, Islam is not too hard. We make it too hard upon ourselves. So, once there were these three young men who went to visit the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would worship in private. What kind of acts of worship would he do when he was on his own? And when the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them the worship that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, they felt it was very little. Right? This is how the people who are young and just started practicing Islam, how they are. They feel like it's too little. So they thought to themselves, they rationalized, and they said, maybe because he's a prophet, he doesn't have to do that much. But we need to do more because, you know, we young, we sinners, we need to do more. So one guy said, I'm going to fast every day of my life. And the second guy said, I am going to pray Qiyamul Layl Tahajjud all night, every night. I'm not going to sleep at night. And the third person said, I'm never getting married, virgin for life. When the Prophet ﷺ heard about what these people said, he got on the minbar and he gave a khutbah. And he said that I've heard people saying things like this. Understand that I am closer to Allah than any of you. But I pray sometimes and I sleep at times. I fast some days, I don't fast on other days. And I'm married to many women. The Rasulullah ﷺ had many wives. And then he said, this is my sunnah. And whoever abandons my way is not of me. Meaning, in Islam, we are not supposed to push ourselves to that extreme. We need to be balanced and moderate in the kind of ibadah we take on. And this is why when I deal with young people and try to get them into the religion, I adopt a very gradual approach, step by step. Start with the salah. If they accept the salah, then they start praying salah, then bring in the fasting, then zakah, then hajj, step by step. And so this hadith helps us with this, because the hadith we're talking about today, the Prophet ﷺ said that the most beloved actions to Allah are the ones you do on a daily basis, even if they are small. What is a small action you can do on a daily basis? There are so many. There are so many. But the point is to find one. Just take one and to make it a habit in your life. So it piles up on the day of judgment. For example, reciting Quran for 10 minutes a day. This is something that is humanly possible for almost all of us. To take out 10 minutes a day, every day of your life to recite Quran. To recite it and to reflect on its meaning. Now, you may think, but it's only 10 minutes of Quran, you know. Is Allah going to accept that from me? Again, back to the hadith. Allah loves the action that is consistent, even if it is small. 10 minutes of Quran, think about it like this. For every letter you recite, how much reward do you get? Who knows? How much reward you get for every letter? 10. 10 rewards a letter. How many letters can you recite in 10 minutes? A few thousand letters. Times 10, maybe getting like 80, 90,000 rewards per day for those 10 minutes of Quran. Now what if you do that every day for 40 years? We're looking at rewards in the trillions. Does that seem small anymore? Now imagine you've got your mountain of sins and you've got trillions of rewards for reciting Quran for 10 minutes every day. Which do you think is going to outweigh the other on the day of judgment? You see, we think it's small, these good deeds, but they pile up. If you make it a habit and you stick to it every day, the good deeds pile up. Think about charity. You know, you take out 10 rand a day and give it in charity. At the end of the year, how much charity have you given? Can someone do the maths for us? Yes, right? Now times that by how many years you end up living, may Allah give us a long life. No? You end up in the millions. Right? And remember, when you give charity, Allah gives it back to you 10 times over. So you give 10 rand charity every day in your life, it piles up to the millions. Allah will send it back to you in this world and the year after. And by the way, the reward for charity is not just times 10. The Quran states that depending on your intention and the quality of charity, it can be anywhere between times 10 to times 700. The reward for your charity. Anywhere between 10, times 10 to times 700. When we talk about the reward for good deeds, it's always multiplication. You know, it's always being multiplied in a huge way. So,
okay.
104-105. Okay, there's a car blocking the driveway. Someone needs to leave urgently. So, it's a number plate 104-105. Can you please move the car? Okay. Okay, so getting back to our topic. We're talking about good deeds, right? I'm giving you a few examples. Each person can take one, and you can try and make this one good deed a habit in your life. That good deed could be reciting Quran for 10 minutes a day. It could be giving 10 rand in sadaqah every day. It could be praying 2 rakats of nafil salah every day. You know, it could be sitting after salah and reciting your tasbih. Subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. These are very small good deeds. They're not going to take a lot of time. But they pile up on the day of judgment and they are beloved to Allah. So we as individuals who want to earn Allah's mercy, who want to earn Jannah, we must try and build these kind of habits in our life. These kind of habits are the ones that will truly stand out in the day of judgment if it is done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to mention 2 stories from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which ended about 2 sahaba. Right? So 2 stories about sahaba who excelled at good deeds which you may think are small. And because of those good deeds, they were given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. Now some of us may think that there were 10 sahaba who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, the Ashra Mubashara. Right? And we think it's only those 10. But the Ashra Mubashara, the 10 who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, they were 10 who were given it in one sitting. Meaning in one sitting, the Prophet ﷺ pointed to those 10 sahaba and said they are going to Jannah. But there are many other sahaba who were given glad tidings of Jannah too. Not just those 10. From amongst those who were given the glad tidings of Jannah, but were not part of the Ashara Mubashara, was Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. It is authentically narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when he saw Jannah in a dream, he saw the Jannah of Umar radiallahu anhu, and the Jannah of Rumaysa radiallahu anha, and he heard the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu anhu in Jannah. Right, so he mentioned 3 sahaba by name. Umar, who is already from the Ashra Mubashara, Rumaysa, Umar Sulaim, radiallahu anha, who was from the Ansar of Medina, and she was one of the greatest of the Ansar of Medina. Her son was Anas ibn Malik, who was one of the greatest scholars of Islam. And the 3rd name was Bilal ibn Rabah. Who was Bilal? One of the first converts to Islam. The first muazzin. But why do you think the Prophet ﷺ heard his footsteps in Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ asked him, why did I hear your footsteps in Jannah? What good deed are you doing that the others are not doing? And you may think it's something big, right? Maybe it was the Battle of Badr, where he killed Umayyah ibn Khalaf. Maybe he was giving azan, you know, being the first muazzin. Maybe it was the torture he endured when he said, Ahadun Ahad. No, he mentioned something small. Something small but consistent. Something small that he did every single day. What did he say? Bilal radiallahu anhu said, the only thing I can think of is that every day, after I make wudu, I pray 2 rakats of nafil salah. How much? 2 rakah of nafil salah. That's not a big thing. To us, it's not a big thing. You know, we think, it's just 2 rakah. I just sit down, sit on my phone, wait for the azan to go. You'll stand outside the masjid lobby, wait for the azan to go. But these two rakats, every day after every time he made wudu, it piles up. The most beloved actions to Allah are those which are consistent, even if they are small. We think of two rakats of nafil as something small. But Bilal mentioned it as something that he did, and the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that that is a reason for hearing his footsteps in Jannah. A small deed. And this is a man who did great deeds. This is a man who made jihad fi sabilillah. This is a man who endured torture fi sabilillah. This is the first muazzin. This is the man who was there for Badr and Uhud and the conquest of Makkah. But when he came to talking about his Jannah, it was these two rakats of salah. Another sahabi. And the beauty of the next story is we don't even know the name of the sahabi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting in the masjid with the sahaba, and he told them the next man who walks in through that door is going to Jannah. So all the sahaba turned towards the door, and they were expecting Abu Bakr or Umar or, you know, one of the famous sahaba to walk in. But one of the guy who walked in was someone completely unknown. He was just your normal regular musalli, you know, one of the local businessmen who had become a Muslim. He was a sahabi because he met Rasulullah, but we don't know his name. He wasn't somebody who had a high social status, you know, not somebody famous. So one of the sahaba who was sitting there and who heard Rasulullah say this was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, right, the son of Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar. So Abdullah got very curious, and he's wondering, what is this guy doing that the Prophet said that he's going to Jannah, you know? So he decided to follow that guy and spend some time with him. It's a long story, but to cut it short, he spent a day with this man, with this sahabi. And this man lived a very normal life. He wasn't fasting extra. He wasn't praying much Qiyamul Layl. He was making up just before Fajr, praying two or four rakats. He didn't have any extra zikrs he was making. He went to work, did his business, came home, spent time with his family. He did all the wajibat. Remember that, praying five times a day. There's no such thing as a sahabi who didn't pray five times a day. That's something that everyone thought about, right? He did all the basics. He couldn't find anything extra. So Abdullah ibn Umar, he's observing this man. He spent the day at this man's house, and he can't think of anything extra that this man did that made him a person of Jannah. So finally he decided to just ask him. He told him, listen, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to you and said that you're going to Jannah. What are you doing that makes you a person of Jannah? And this man said, I don't know. I'm just a regular businessman. You know, I'm just a normal guy. I don't know what I'm doing. So Abdullah began to think. He couldn't figure it out. Then the man also was sitting and thinking. Finally the man realized something. And this is an amazing point. The man realized there's one good deed he was doing every day that most people don't do. And he called Abdullah back and he said, listen, there is something I'm doing. Abdullah said, what is it? He said, every night before I go to sleep, I make sure I have no ill feelings in my heart towards anybody. No hatred, no jealousy, no animosity towards anybody. Abdullah said, that's it. That's what you're doing every time to me. To have that pure of a heart. And here I want to bring up another point that many of us are unaware of. When it comes to ibadah, when it comes to acts of worship, many of us think acts of worship only as physical acts. What this man was doing was not a physical act. It was an internal act of worship. Remember, there are three types of acts of worship. The ones we do with our bodies, like praying salah and making tawaf, right? These are things we do with your bodies. The ones we do with our tongues, like talking about the deen, making zikr of Allah, reciting Quran. But the third type that many of us are unaware of is the ibadah of the heart. Shukr, sabr, right? Avoiding ill feelings. This is the ibadah of the heart. These are things we do inside ourselves for which we are rewarded. When you think of a good deed, you are rewarded for it even if you don't do it. When you think of a sin and you fight that thought and you don't act upon it, you are rewarded. This is internal ibadah. When there is hatred in your heart for a fellow Muslim and you think about it and you purify your heart and you get rid of that hatred from your heart, this is ibadah, this is an act of worship. When there is a difficulty in your life and you are patient, internally you are impatient with that difficulty, this is ibadah. this is an act of worship. When there are good things in your life, and you live your life in a state of shukr, in a state of gratitude, this is ibadah. Remember, ibadah and worship is not only done physically, it is done internally as well. And that's what this man did. He did one good deed, which many of us consider small, and which many of us don't even think about when we think about good deeds. You know, when we think about good deeds, we think about salah, we think about dhikr, we think about fasting, we think about reciting Quran. How many of us think about purifying our hearts from hatred? How many of us think about, you know, removing jealousy from our hearts? One small deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah loves deeds that are consistent, even if they are small. Every night before going to bed, this man did one small thing. And that was making sure he did not have any hatred or jealousy towards anyone. And it piles up on the Day of Judgment. Every day doing that piles up on the Day of Judgment until he meets Allah with qalbun salim, with a pure heart. And that is a means into entering Jannah. So, my reminder to each and every one of us here today, in these last few nights of Ramadan, let us take the time to build good deed habits in our life. Let us take one act of worship and turn it into a habit. Whether it's reciting Quran, make it a habit to recite Quran for 10 or 15 minutes or even 5 minutes a day. Don't leave it only for Ramadan. Don't leave it only for Ramadan. Don't be the kind of person who, when Eid comes, you close that Quran, you don't open it again until the first of Ramadan next year or someone passes away. Don't do that. Be the person who is connecting with the Quran all year round. Or maybe it can be sadaqah. Give sadaqah every day of your life. No matter how small it is. It doesn't matter. It's beloved to Allah no matter how small it is. It can be something else. It can be smiling at people. Smiling is sadaqah. Take time to smile and greet people. And the Rasulullah ﷺ told us, "Afshur salama bainakum." Spread the salam amongst you. Spread peace amongst you. Going around greeting people with the salam. Make that a habit. It seems small, but it piles up. It's beloved to Allah. Do not think of any good deed to be too small. At the end of Surah Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever does an atom's worth of good will see it. And whoever does an atom's worth of evil will see it. Right? Whoever does a mustard seed's worth of good or evil will see it. Meaning, no good deed is too small. And don't think of any sin as too small either. So as we reach the end of Ramadan, we ask Allah to accept our ibadah from us and to forgive us for our sins and to make our fasting and our qiyam a means of forgiveness for us, to help us all to get Laylatul Qadr and to earn the reward of doing good deeds for 1,000 months. And we ask Allah to help us to build habits of good deeds that are accepted by Him and to make this a means of us entering into Jannah. Remember not to treat any good deed lightly. Take the time to build them into habits. May Allah give us all the ability to practice on what I said. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.